A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And today we are joined by the brilliant actor Sean Dooley. He's an actor, a father of four, a writer, a fellow South Londoner, and a Barnsley FC supporter. Have I covered everything, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good. I've been Googling you, so I'm glad the Google paid off.
Have you got a Wikipedia page?
Yes, yeah,
I love that you admit to knowing that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't bother
you. Yeah, of course I have. I started it, I have.
Is it factually accurate?
It does some odd thing. What does it do? Last time I looked, it kind of just goes, Dooley did this, Dooley did that, Dooley appeared in this, Dooley appeared in that. And it's like, oh, you don't even know me, stop using my second name, you know me. Yeah, I find that a bit annoying about it, but it's all right, yeah.
Well, anyway, Dooley, can I call you Dooley?
Yeah, go for it.
Tell us about
your
family.
I've known you longer than I've known you. Whoever it is sat in a small room writing them.
You probably recognise his voice because obviously you've been in EastEnders, Coronation Street, The Street, Casualty, Dazeel and Pasco, Rosemary and Thyme, Misfits, Broadchurch, Wolfblood, Silent Witness, I love that show, Exile, and many films including Woman in Black and Salvage. Congratulations.
My goodness, you have been busy.
Steady on.
Yeah.
That is an amazing CV. Is there like a TV show that you're desperate to get on that's like your dream show?
Oh, God. One that's on the current that's playing
who's that
now.
To you? Let's be creative.
This is like Desert Island Discs for telly shows, isn't
it? I think they should bring back Manimal with me as Manimal.
I am going to start an online petition tonight, Dooley.
I'm just putting that out there.
I love that. That's brilliant.
I could transform into anything.
Yeah.
And solve crimes.
That's cool.
Oh, no. Oh, the one with the angel where he's walking through and... I'd love to be the Hulk.
The Heaven one.
The Heaven, yeah, what was that? He just kept solving things. That
it was
good.
Michael.
Guardian Angel.
Stairway to Heaven. Something to Heaven.
Didn't
he turn out to be Jesus in the end of that?
I think that was when you went through the smoking stage at university. And it was a dream you had. I'm pretty sure he didn't turn out to be Jesus. But
you say that, do you? I'm not the one comparing myself to the Messiah. Let's go that. But I have to say, you know, you seem like a lovely man, but I was slightly unnerved when you walked to my house, because I most recently remember seeing you in Broadchurch.
Yeah.
As, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the second season of Broadchurch, you're a very bad man.
Yeah, he's not nice, is he?
So what's the name of the character you played the full name?
Ricky Gillespie.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one. You actually failed him. You can't really say. So you're like the dad of
The murdered girl from Sandbrook that originally sent David Tennant's character away from there to Broadchurch.
You don't know the name of your dead daughter, do you?
He doesn't know it. We're not here to make him look silly.
I know.
Over a year, ages ago. Oh my God!
All right.
Pippa Gillespie.
Pippa, you're right. You're right. I just said it because I couldn't remember it, and I loved
Pippa Gillespie. Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. And I loved Broadchurch. I absolutely loved both series, and I genuinely thought you were brilliant because you were so. It was sort of like it's such a big deal what your character did to bury his daughter and then cover it up. But you, like, whoa! What I'm saying is. because I found it quite hard to watch that programme as a parent. You know, yeah. I find that to act that, oh, it, how did you do it?
Well, interestingly, because of how Broadchurch is, I didn't know until the final episode, until we got the scripts of the final episode. So as we were going along with things, I had a beating where I beat up James Darcy's character on top of a hill. And I went to the director and I said, what level of beating is this? Do you know what I mean? It, you know, because there's different levels of beating somebody up, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? There's, you know, there's, you know, you've looked at me the wrong way, you've slept with my wife, you've
fucked up the podcast. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And so there's a different level. So we had to do things several times to cover for where it was potentially going, the series. Mm. So I had an inkling, and then I was told there was an involvement and I'd killed the niece and, knew about my daughter dying and all this. So, and believed that I was responsible for killing Pippa. So, yeah, so the horrible thing is, because I'm the same, anything with kids, I kind of struggle with, and want my don't want to go dark because you're not a dark podcast, but my one proviso of doing Broadchurch was that, because you don't really know where your character's going, but my one stipulation was that he wasn't a paedophile. It's not a part I want to play. It's not somewhere I want to go, or because I get quite into my characters and I research them and I look into them and I try and find, you know, the humanity behind whatever you are. I try and find, you know, the humanity behind it. I don't believe anybody's inherently evil. I think it's a culmination of lots of different things that have hit you on the way to where you've become, in a way. And then we had all these horrific scenes to film, and the one where I found my daughter in the river, where I was sent, we took an entire day to film, and there's footage, you know, a lot of footage of me going into the water, getting my daughter, playing out, holding her, crying, and that was horrific. And then, but the thing is, then when it's put together for the benefit of the show, it's a very small bit. Interesting, because the South East London thing, I had Athlete's Wires on a loop, the song Wires on a loop through my headphones. So in between takes, I'd disappear and I'd just be left alone, and I'd have this song going constantly, a picture of my kids, to keep me in that frame of mind of losing somebody. And Wires just... because that destroys me.
I think it's about having a premature baby.
Yeah, it's about the baby. It's about his baby being in intensive care. And, yeah. Oh gosh, it's
because Pete beautiful. Told me about that song when our baby was in intensive care, because our baby was premature. Yeah. And I've not been able to listen to it. So no, maybe I won't.
No, I put it on and just go straight away.
And then, like, after that whole day, like, how do you, like, you know, go and down the like, Weatherstones? Yeah. You know,
pint. Days like that, you have to have a drink. Yeah. If you're a drinker, you do, you know. You have to just have a pint and just do normal things and watch crap telly that you wouldn't normally watch, and just do things to take you away from things.
But were you annoyed when you found out that you were the murderer, or were you satisfied? Because I remember reading an interview with, I think, the writer, who said that the woman who played Danny's mum in the first series, she actually came to him and went, look, I know you're not telling anyone, but please, just tell me. Is it me? I've got to know. Is it me? I can't stand if it's me. She might have had a different accent. And he was like, all right, I'll tell you, it's not you. It's and she was like, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. So were you like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Yeah, so were you like,
Chris took me to the famous cliffs. We were down there and took me, and we walked along the beach underneath the cliffs, and he said, you're involved. It's you, you're heavily involved, and just want you to know.
Oh,
so he's like, he said, but you can't tell anybody. So I was like,
oh my God.
And then I went back in the cast, went, what were you talking about? And I was like, oh, nothing, we just chatted about some other stuff.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God. But then I kept it from Polly, my wife, because we were sworn to secrecy, so I didn't tell my mum and dad. And they even kept it, they wanted me to keep quiet about even being in the show, so my mum and dad didn't know I was filming it.
At any point think this might be just a big conspiracy to have you murdered? Like, you're not allowed to tell anyone where you are or what you're doing for an indefinite period of time. Okay, it's the Wicker Man, basically.
But we were, so she didn't know anything. So she kept saying to me, she said, did you do it? I was going, babe, come on, I'm not going to tell you. And I didn't want to tell her for two reasons. One, because I thought as soon as she gets into the playground and her mates start going, did he do it? She's going to give something away, just even in a look. So I thought, I'm not doing that. And then on top of that, and the second thing was, I never have any power over my wife whatsoever.
Yeah.
And so it was a chance to have 8 weeks of knowing something that she doesn't. And then on that final episode where it came out, we were sat together on the sofa.
So you kept it secret right after through. Filming, right yeah. until it was actually yeah. put out on
yeah,
the she telly. Didn't
know. Yeah, I kept completely secret.
That's like having an affair, Dooley.
This is the thing. Now she now thinks I'm able to keep secrets from her.
Ooh.
So now she's like going, whoa,
hang on.
You were able to keep that very well, weren't you?
You have ruined your own life.
I know, ruined it. But she, we sat cuddled up on the sofa watching it, and it happened, and she just moved away from me. She just moved away to the sofa, and she went, I'm sorry, I don't really want to be near you. So I was sat there going, oh, babe. She went, no, just let me watch it.
And oh
she,
my God.
Yeah, she really didn't like the character. Really didn't like
really? Yeah. Oh.
So but you can just lift your hands going, what? I didn't know. I didn't know it was me. It's out of my hands.
I didn't even know.
I didn't sign up to be the killer.
But he did know, Helen, because he'd finished filming and then night after night he'd slept in the same house as that woman and not house. Told her what he'd done about the bloody bluebells. I'll give you bluebells.
Oh, and that's the other thing as well. Then she halfway through she went, oh my God. Because I'd brought home some of the bluebells from the set because it was not the time of year for bluebells, so they were all fake. And I took some as a kind of memento.
Ah, like a serial killer! Ah! You are sick, dude! You are sick! Did you leave a playing card in your dressing room as well? What's the matter with you?
And they were on the mantelpiece in a jar. And with some other stuff, and she went, the bluebells.
Oh.
And yeah, she felt really quite sick. And, and then she went, they've been in my house for so long and I never thought about it.
Oh.
So I've got the bluebells at home. I've got them. Yeah.
You've still got them?
Yeah.
I would have thrown them out the front door with your underpants. Change the locks.
But did you have to do the school run like the next day?
I avoided it.
I bet.
I avoided it for about a week.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at... kind of.
Being accused of murder.
Yeah.
The judging but eyes.
People thinking I buried my daughter in a forest. I'm not very comfortable with that.
But brilliantly, we were in hospital recently with my eldest daughter, and one of the staff, the staff were really nice to me, really quite calm and quite nice to us. And then one of the staff suddenly went, oh my God. And I went, what? He went, oh. We thought that you've been in here with a dead daughter or a dying daughter, and we've all been discussing it, and I know it's bloody Broadchurch. And he goes running out, and they all then come in and go, oh, of course! So they've all been out there going, oh, my God, he was in recently. And what? And they were all there going, and he buried her in a forest of bluebells. So they must have been kind of thinking, poor kid. And me going, yeah, fine, yeah. No,
I've got a few more at the back, it's fine.
So they were just, and then that was
oh, that's hilarious.
Funny. Oh, dear.
But you must get that a lot when people look at you, get the double takes and the extra long stares, like at the supermarket and stuff. Where people go,
we get a lot.
I'm looking at you, but I'm not looking at you.
Yeah, all people just stare.
Yeah.
And then the best thing is that people then come to you and go, generally with me, which I like because I don't like being pigeonholed, so I like that people come and go, I know you're off the telly, but I don't know where from, which I like.
That's quite sweet, actually.
Really nice, but then it means that...
Do you go, I was on Jeremy Kyle or nothing?
I have to then give my CV. So then I go, ordinary eyes, and they go, no. Broadchurch, no. And basically, I'll give off 9 or 10 things, they'll go, no, no, not that. I was at seeing Stone Roses. Hooray. Where was I? Hyde Park or something like that. And this kid came up to me and he went, I'm allowed to swear on this podcast, aren't I?
Yeah.
He didn't say that to me. That'd be weird if he said that. He came up and he went, mate, I fucking love you. You're fucking great, mate. You're great. Really loud. I went, oh, mate, calm it down. You know. Coming on, mate. He went, oh, fucking brilliant, mate, you're brilliant. He said, what was it now, that thing where you, he said, you were a copper and you went back in time. I went, no, mate, that was John Sim. I said, that's not me, mate. He went, no, hang on. And I tried to walk away and he grabbed me. He went, no, hang on, I've got it. He said, that thing, he said, you were like a detective or something. You were in the Lake District. I said, that's John Sim, he was in the Lakes, mate. I said, that's not me, mate. And he went, no, fucking hang on. And he got really nasty. And then he went, you're on stage in a band. I went, 24-hour party, people. It's John Sim. It is fucking me. I just walked away.
God. Well,
conversely to that, when I first came to London, And I went to the National. I was a kid from Barnsley, middle of nowhere. Came down to London and went with my then girlfriend to the National to watch a play. And we went into, so I was a bit kind of like, this is the National, oh my God, this is a, and we were in the stalls and I was sat there, and in walks this girl. And I went, oh my God. And I stood up in the stalls and I went, bloody hell, how weird is this? And this girl looked at me and my wife went, what's up? And I went, we went to school together. Really loud, you know, ridiculously loud. I went, we were at school together. I said, oh my God. This girl's looking at me like I'm a complete idiot. And I went, how weird is this? And I was doing this weird hand gesture, which worked well in the podcast, which is kind of moving my hands to and fro like this, going, look at this. This is so weird that we're both here. We're both from Barnsley. We're now watching a play at the National. My girlfriend went, sit down. It's fucking Nicole Kidman. And she could not have been more famous at that point. Moment in time,
right?
Yeah. It was the whole Tom Cruise, unbelievably famous Nicole Kidman.
It was a good 10 years since she left Barnsley, wasn't it?
Exactly. I just sunk to my seat, and then all giggles started happening around me. So I can't remember any of the first half at all. And then in the interval, red hot face of shame. And then in the interval, waiting for her while she's at the toilet. Out comes Nicole Kidman with a massive bodyguard walking towards me. I was like, oh God, and tried to kind of shrink. And she walked up to me and she went, are you okay now? And, and I went, yeah, I'm fine. And she went, okay.
That's brilliant. Oh,
yeah.
Because there's that level of fame, like Steve Hill, who's a guy we have on the podcast quite regularly. He is a journalist and he went to interview Marquis Smith from The Four recently. And they ended up back in Steve's hotel room getting room service. And the waiter came up and put the stuff down and looked at him and said, do you know what? You look like Marquis Smith. He just went, yeah, thanks, mate. It's like when you get so famous, people can't believe it's you. Is that what you aspire to? Or does that frighten you?
No, that frightens me. No, I don't want that.
You like being...
I'd like...
The guy you like the guy know going, I know you.
No, I'd like to be even less than that. Yeah. I'd like just... Because it's hard, especially when you've got kids. Because the thing is, when because you're kind of, you know, because of this, the kind of digital age we live in, and Twitter and everything else, everything can be commented on and put out there. And so it's kind of, me and Polly talk about it a lot, is that you're out, you're on the tube. And I've got four little ones, so it's, you know, there's a lot of shouting. And there's a lot of, come on, go. One, two, three, four. Get here now, because if I get to five...
I don't know what's going to happen.
I'm going to explode. Five. Get here. And so it's, and so when you're on a tube, when you're kind of out in public, it's really hard. And especially if you've been recognised, then you start to just think, I know now I'm being watched parenting. And I find that really, really
Can I give you a piece of advice?
Yeah.
Before you become famous... Turn that into a podcast and comedy show, and then like it's already out there.
Yeah,
it's not interesting. People aren't going to tweet about it because you've already talked about it infinitely for 50 episodes.
I've done that on the bus where I was like, not shouting at my kids, but like, just sit down. And then someone went, I recognise your voice. You're from the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm like, yes, I am.
And I'm really happy. Yeah.
That's right. I'm having a nervous breakdown. Yay.
But my thing is, everybody's seen me kill people, so everybody now watching going, like, he's going to kill them.
He's going to snap. He's going to kill them. Jesus, for God's sake, put those bluebells away before he sees them. I'll send him over the edge. Leave it. All right, should we start the interview?
Yeah. I'm so excited about Broadchurch. I genuinely love it. And I know. Sorry.
Okay, so let's start. We were going to have like a fatherhood chat because Sean is the first guest on the podcast who's had four kids.
Yes. Four children.
Four. What is it like? Can you nutshell what life is like at the Dooleys?
It is. It's chaotic. It's beautifully noisy. It's like a cluster bomb. So you throw the bomb, and then there's lots of little explosions going off all the time. I think it's like a firework display. I'm not just saying this. I love kids, and I love being a dad, and I'd have 9, 10, 11, you know, but she's got me an Xbox 360 now, so I'm we're all right now.
hand on the console, not on your lady.
360.
So I'm fine.
Bit last gen, to be honest.
I ain't got one yet.
So what is the age range of your children?
They are 11, 9, 5-3. It's good. And they all, what I tell you what's brilliant about them is you know, you've got one kid or two kid or, you know, whatever, it's just the different personalities. Just how they can have been brought up in the same environment, the same parents, doing kind of the same parenting, but kind of less hands-on as they got more. but be totally different people. We've got four totally different individual children. You know, my eldest girl is anything remotely that she would consider girly is vetoed. I don't know what to call it, really. She's kind of like, she's just basically a young feminist, and she, from nowhere, she, my wife went to put on fake eyelashes to go out for a posh do we were going to, and she went mental. You really? Don't need these things. You don't need false things to make you look beautiful. And she took them and she hid them and refused to give them to my wife.
Wow, good so girl. My wife, 9-year-old.
And that, no, she was 8 when that happened.
Wow.
And she's got this massive thing. So she won't, you know, she's kind of like, you don't need to do that. You don't, you're beautiful as you are. You don't. And oh, wow. She's incredible.
God,
yeah.
The future is safe. And this.
Then, well, I don't want to judge anyone's parenting choices, but if I were you, I would start reading a Harry Potter at bedtime and stop reading Jermaine Greer. That's just a
that
suggestion.
That female unit needs to be shelved.
Exactly. Just putting it out there. Start with the Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah.
Things might just calm down a bit.
But then my third, my second girl is Pink. Frozen! Pink! And then a little girl just glitter, runs around glitter. Singing Annie all day. So it's kind of quite... Wow. It's they're just different people. And, you know, I hope at one point, you know, when the kids get older, that maybe we could foster or do respite care in, which we've done before we had kids, myself and my wife. But... greatest thing in the world, I think. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I was asked recently if I could do something, what would you do? And it would be that I could just pause time for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just, everything's just going too quick. And my, you know, boy's about to start big school. And I think, is it Neil Young? There's a Neil Young song called My Boy. And he says, you know, why are you growing up so fast, my boy? You know, please, yeah, let's go. It's just too quick. And then, you know, we live in such a world that it's all about work and make sure you've got stuff and make sure you get everything and that you're sorted and everything's okay, that it just quickly can pass you by.
Mm.
So incredibly, I'm incredibly broody.
Oh, it's very
do you want
nice.
Another one, Dooley?
I do, oh yeah.
Dooley's broody!
A new game from Mattel.
Do you really? Are you going to go 5?
No, we're not. No. We've decided nobody. I would.
Helen's one of 5, aren't you?
I'm one of 5. Yeah. And I find it really difficult. I had one of these experiences because I always wanted 4. And my husband he's very much 2. He's from 2. And the other day, because my littlest is starting school, so I'm getting that, this, you know, and I was at like music class the other day and got, I still got 4 more music classes and that's it. So that was, it is strange because I love that I have 4 other siblings that, you know, and I love being part of a gang and that
But yeah, I mean, the one good thing is about the little one growing older is that I don't have to go to singing groups anymore.
Oh, right. God,
which
that's my dream.
I cannot bear. And I just can't.
And if you see a crocodile, punch me in the face.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I know the lady who runs our local one and she's really lovely, but the amount of times people go, come on, you could...
No,
it drives me insane. And it drives me insane, people who are really enthusiastic about them and bring along guitars and musical instruments to play along. Oh. No, don't.
Leave it out.
Oh, it does my head in.
It's for me. It's the moment when I think where they hand out the basket of pre-licked maracas, where you just see your child basically pick up a musical instrument coated in amoeba.
Yeah,
and it's like,
that's
oh,
right.
Yeah.
I only go for the biscuit. Funny story about kids' nursery rhyme. In the street that I did, I lost my on-screen virginity. Sex on film.
Sex virginity.
Yeah.
Sex virginity. Not my... podcast virginity, which I'm losing tonight.
You look a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
A little bit. Are you crying?
A little bit hot in here. I'm incredibly fertile, so just be careful.
That's right. All right.
And Dooley's brooding. Don't forget.
That's right. We'll get t-shirts printed.
Manimal. Incredibly fertile.
Look out, South East London. Man on the loose.
And we had this sex scene to do, me and Jane Horrocks, and I was...
Sorry. Jane Horrocks! I love
Jen Horrocks, you're so, just, can you just be cool? Can you just pretend to be cool for the next 20 minutes?
Sorry, okay. Edit it out, future Ellie.
No. Don't.
I had a text scene to do with Jane, and I was incredibly nervous at particular things happening during the sex scene.
Yes. Sneezing, and, yeah, coughing.
And, you know, things like that, hay fever.
And, worse than that.
Worse than far worse.
Front bottom things.
And I was sat in this chair, and you know, I'm pretty much sure I was going to be okay. And I sat in this chair, and Jane was sat near me, and then we got ready to go, and she lowered herself, straddling me, and sat on me, and instantaneous
bang,
instantaneous
hello,
just douche, and and I was just like, oh God, no, why God, why? Why do you hate me so? And Jane, I just had my boy, so it was 10, 11 years ago. And Jane looked at me, she went, Sean, look at me. And I went, yeah, Jane. And she went, wind the bobbin up, pull, clap. So he was about 6 months. I was going to these things for the first time in my life. And I went, and it threw me. Thank God it threw me and didn't send me the other way. But I was going, and she went, wind it back again. Did the whole thing. And, of course, it worked incredibly well.
Wow.
And then she went, you all right now? And I went, I'm fine now. And she went, good.
Oh.
I mean, what a top woman. Well, she's I adore
her. She's amazing.
Lucky for you, though, because I'm actually incredibly aroused by that. I'm gonna need a moment.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That and Incy Wincy Spider. Sometimes I get Pete to climb up the drainpipe outside the house when we're having a night in,
yes,
just to get me in the mood.
Had she done Grand Old Duke of York, it would have been probably.
He was neither up nor down again.
He was neither. No, he was. No, he was one of them. Yeah.
Sure, there's a sketch in this. Yeah, oh, that's so funny.
Gosh.
So you've been a parent for over a decade, 4 children. Yes. You must have an amazing bank of parenting knowledge, Sean Dooley. What are your top tips for you know, children and that?
My, can I just get my soapbox out? My top, right, for parents who are just about to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
don't buy all the nonsense that is that people try to sell you.
Cots and towels?
No, like plastic baths. I'm sorry if you've got them to put your kids in. Get your kid in the bath with you. When it's a baby, put it in the sink. You know what I mean? You don't need a plastic. You know, all these.
Yeah.
We're sold, you know, chairs that rock themselves that have iPad holders. Come on, hold your kid. There's so much. Sorry, this is...
No. The floodgates have opened.
There's so much.
It's like a one-man mum's net. That's wonderful.
You are.
Dool's net.
You are. There's so much rubbish flung at you that new parents look at and go, I need to have this. I need to over sterilize my house. I need to do this. I need stair gates. You know, if you have stair gates, kids don't learn to go up and down stairs. teach them how to climb up downstairs, because you know that's why kids fall downstairs, is because and this whole thing of sanitation, and you know the kids need to eat mud. Let them eat mud. Mm. Let them eat mud. Be ill, and they'll be stronger for it. Let them. They need.
You'd never guess you're from Yorkshire. They need
coil. Let them eat coil. You know, you've got. So I think that's my main things would be that, and also as well, if you're a new parent, don't let them. They shouldn't stop your life. Your life should carry on. Strap them to you. Go on. Go out. Do stuff, and don't feel that this new being has to mean that you have to stay in the enclosure of your house. You know, because you know, get them out, and you know, let them, they'll benefit from it as well. But I think people are. It's kind of people get scared because there's no manual and you're not told how to do it. But I think if you relax instinctively, you'll do what we're here for, which is to do that. I mean, you know, the only purpose we're really here is to progress the human race, really. And it's like, oh my God, I'm off now. This is a 3-part podcast.
And another thing, breastfeeding.
The weekly podcast. Well, my wife's a breastfeeding counsellor, so I'm very, very pro breastfeeding and
pro breasts. Sean Dooley is pro breasts. Yeah. Headline news.
Breasts. what else? I mean, nobody knows. Oh yes. Don't read manuals by people who don't have kids.
Oh.
I would not take my car to a garage to somebody who hasn't got a car and can't drive. And that woman's stuff is ridiculous. Sorry.
You're talking about Gina Ford, aren't you? You're talking about
you
Gina
said
Ford.
It.
She's
you
showing her GFO. Yeah.
yeah. The big G. Don't do it. Don't do it.
And because we all know, because we're all parents, that transformation, and I know we talked about it doesn't change you, but there is a fundamental change. When you become a parent, you get it. You go, oh, that's why my friend was like that.
Yeah.
That's why,
yeah.
You know, that's why my older brother was like that for 5 years. Yeah. And he's back now, but he was a bit tired for 5 years and his life was a bit different. So, but yeah, I think you're right. And it's that moment when you're at a cafe and everything's kind of exploding and you're having a breakdown and your friend with that kids go, you just need to do this. And you're like, fuck you. Just fuck the fuck off. You feel like an inconvenience and you have to apologise.
Yeah.
Because your children may be making a noise.
But even if that's crying or laughter, you still go, you're laughing too loud. You're laughing too loud.
Just be like the quiet, uptight person in the corner who's trying to work in a cafe while you're just ordering a cappuccino to have a life.
A baby Gino.
Yeah, yeah. Hush now. Yes, it's fine, Marshmallow. Shut up. I'm really good with the parenting. But no.
See, I can have a rant about baby chinos. The word baby chino makes me do a little.
The word artisan makes me do.
Yeah.
Artisan. If I put artisan on my CV, can I charge more? Ridiculous.
Artisan
actor.
I hate that you have to apologise. I hate that you feel you apologise to the world, you apologise to your non-parent friends, and that. And I was thinking, everyone's had kids. We were all once babies, and I think that's what I find really difficult, is that you just feel like all of a sudden you don't fit into a society that you did when you were a bump. When you walked around with a bump, everyone's like, you are welcome here.
Yeah.
But you with the crying baby, you get out of the supermarket.
But then as soon as you're in a cafe and there's a little dog running around everybody's feet, everybody goes, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Let him run. Oh, he's weaning on my leg. It's fine. Look how cute he is. Oh, he's barking. He's barking.
That's because he's on a leash.
So that's your top tip. Buy less shit, basically.
Buy less shit. You don't need it. Yeah. Mm. Don't buy into the adverts.
Mm. Steve Hill recently said his top tip was don't be a would you subscribe to that?
Just in life, nothing to do with
being a parent. That was the one, isn't he, will teach his son.
My things would, I'm going to teach my boy to be a gentleman. That's the
same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess it is,
Don't be a it's just South East London.
Just South East for that.
You live in Lewisham now, sure, you've got to get used to it. It's how we talk.
I got stopped in Lewisham the other day. I was like, hey, you're an actor, innit? I was like, in it? No, that doesn't even make sense. Even in slang, that don't make sense. You're an actor, innit? In what? Okay, no. Sorry.
What do you want? Fucking countdown? Jesus. Grammar. You know, you're not allowed, you can't go and sit in Lewisham McDonald's Monday to Friday now.
Yeah.
Why?
Because kids kept agreeing to meet there to stab each other.
Well, I've had a blanket ban on MDs for quite some time, so that's all right.
Oh, yeah, no chicken McNugs.
Blanket banner, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're not allowed. They're not allowed in our house. Kids are not allowed them.
Get a drive through though. It's not in your house, is it?
Drive by. We need Manimal. Don't worry, I'm here. Lion.
Why don't you like McDonald's? I'm genuinely. I'm not offended. I'm genuinely not. Why don't you like McDonald's? I say you don't like Christmas.
I love Christmas. Christmas
exactly.
Is my favourite time.
I know. Why don't you like McDonald's?
Compare McDonald's and Christmas. The two are just not.
They're beautiful
even slightly
treats. That
toys. Close.
Toys in a box.
They're beautiful treats that aren't good for you. Is it the rainforest? They don't chop down the rainforest anymore.
Has that stopped?
Right. Yeah, that's stopped.
Have they stopped paying taxes?
Well, I mean, we could sit here all night. But, fine.
Amazon, I struggle with banning Amazon. It's so hard. And I avoid it. I avoid as much. But then it gets to December the 12th and you go, I can get it all in a day.
Do you remember there was the Amazon boycott last year where you were supposed to not buy anything from Amazon for the whole of December? So I was like, well, I'll just buy it all in November. Then it's done. Christmas shopping
sales,
done.
Amazon
done.
Sales in November were at all-time
high.
Guilt-free. No guilt here, yeah.
I think it's time, Helen.
Is it time?
Oh, well, no. Sean, as an accomplished actor, obviously, you're very good at accents,
no,
aren't you?
No, I'm really not. I'm really quite bad. I have to work really hard at them.
Let me tell you this, my friend. You can't be worse than Helen. You cannot be worse accents than Helen Thorne. So what we thought we'd do, can we do a bit of acting training? We are inside the actor's studio. Can we do a bit of acting training with you, Sean, when you train us?
Yeah.
Sorry, Dooley. Yeah. I keep calling you Sean. Yeah. I don't know why.
No, go back to Dooley, Ellie.
So what we've got here, Sean, we've got a Yorkshire tea travel mug there.
Yes.
And in here, we've got a list of accents, so like Australian, French, whatever. And then we have a list of like phrases, like well-known, stereotypical phrases.
All right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to each pick a phrase and an accent and then, you know, do them. And then the others have to guess what the accent's supposed to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually can't do this in anything other than the actual accent the phrase is meant to be.
Call yourself an actor. Come on. Do you think Marlon Brando says that? If he was saying anything. I'll start.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this accent is actually... I grew up with this accent, so put another shrimp on the barbecue.
Ooh.
That's Geordie.
Correct! I am a big Cheryl Cole fan.
That was Welsh. Anyway, Sean, our professional.
Okay, the new.
That was Liverpool.
Yeah.
That was Scouse. Yes.
Very nice. Already.
Scouse doing a Scots phrase. Lovely.
Already. Come, Dan.
Oh, my God.
Come dine with me.
What was that?
It was calm down in Spanish.
What? No, do it again. No, please do it again.
Do it again.
Calm down, come.
Oh, it's German now. Go on, no, do it again, please. This is the greatest moment of my life.
Come, Dad.
How is that? Have you even been to Spain? What? That is.
I don't know. Who says calm down in Spanish?
Calm down.
Calm down.
We're doing this again. This is the only way.
Okay.
Right.
This is what they do at RADA for the
This is how you get into RADA.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh la la.
What is that? Oh la la. Do again.
Oh.
It's been said.
Oh la la.
Oh, that's it. It's Australian.
No. It's not.
Go
it's
on.
Canadian, but I can't do it.
It's really hard.
Right, Sean.
Okay.
To be sure. Oh, no, stop it.
It's really hard, isn't it?
It is really hard. Right, just hold on a moment, will you? No, I can't now. I can't. To be sure.
Welsh!
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like Dylan Thomas is in the room.
All right.
Well done, okay. Professional.
I've got a brand new combine harvester.
I thought you mentioned it not in the accent it's meant to be.
Brummy.
It wasn't. It really wasn't.
I did it slowly.
It was Cornish.
Go, your turn, Ellie.
Okay. What did do you, boyo?
You do it again.
What did do you, boyo?
Oh, it's French.
That's French.
That's French,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, how about mine? I brought this chorizo from Andalusia.
Christ.
It's the same.
It's just the same.
Yeah, go on.
It's just like, it is Dick Van Dyke impersonating Penelope Keith. That's just all it is.
Up. I bought this chorizo from Andalusia.
Isn't that your voice?
That's Australian.
It's from New Zealand.
Oh, if you'd said thus, I would have known. Okay, I bought thus chorizo.
You're better at Antipodean than I am.
Well, let's ask Sean to be the judge, shall we?
Because I want to hear about Sean's Aussie accent, because I'm quite good at the Australian accent. How's yours, Sean?
My Australian accent is so bad that I went up for an Australian barman. My agent told me we wanted to go for this new regular.
Everyone can do an Australian accent, Sean.
Fool. It's an Australian accent, and my wife laughed immediately. And then I phoned my agent and went, listen, I can't go up for this. And they went, no, you can't. I went, I really can't do an Australian accent. Yes, you can. I said, right, listen. Right, this is a genuine attempt at it, okay? Put another sausage on the barbie, mate. I can't.
That's so jazzy.
I really... Put another sausage on.
Put another sausage. Are you Belgian? What's the matter with you? Oh, yeah. Sure.
I had some pancakes.
At which point my agent went, okay. It's fine. I didn't go for it. I can't. Go on, give me an Australian saying.
Oh, what would
say
we say?
I like a strong
no
Australian.
Worries, mate.
No worries, mate.
What I love the most about that is that you closed your eyes. And I don't know if that was because you were concentrating or because you thought that would be more effective. But it was lovely to watch. It was a beautiful moment.
When I closed my eyes, I was in Home and Away suddenly.
Yeah.
We were on holiday once, me and my missus, and we went up to one of those, you know, those Thompson Rep kind of things where they have a picture of somebody and like it has a little bit about them. And there was this guy and he was looking like cool and sexy and all this. And we went up. We were being a bit silly, had a few drinks, and I went, hey, look at me, my name is Javier. Oh, hello, would you like to come on trip with me, hey, what do you want to go see, Wales? Like this. And then I got a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and it was Javier who was there. And I thought, the only way out of this is to carry on doing the voice. So I turned around and went, oh, no, it's fine. I just was having a look. I'm wondering if you were doing well. My wife just walked off at the time.
No.
I went, it's okay, I'm going to go get a drink now. Walked off.
Good.
All right. I think we've cracked the nut of accents, haven't we?
I love that. I'm in a sort of game type mood now. Let's do another game.
Yeah. Let's segue to a new game.
Yeah.
Which we've never played.
May I suggest Twister?
It's called Hawley Dooley. It's Sean Dooley. So you're a man of many faces and characters, but who is the real Sean?
Do you want me to lie down?
No.
I didn't mean that in a dodgy way. I meant that in a kind of psychotherapy kind of way.
No, I've written a game about you, but if you were, you know, slightly different, because you do take on different characters. So it's like a quiz. So I'll give a little example.
This is like sliding doors.
No, it's amazing. Really, it's really good. It's really good.
Does it start with, I was following you 3 weeks ago.
That's right.
And when you caught that particular train.
You have such nice skin.
Your smell. Where's that from?
That's right.
Where is your wife tonight, Sean? Here's a box.
Don't look in the box.
So, all right. If I give you an example, I'll give you a flavour of what it's like. So, when Sean smells nice, he's Sean Patchouli.
Oh.
So it's words that sound like Dooley. Do you get it? So Hawley Dooley, it's Sean Dooley.
But the technical term is rhyme with, yeah.
Yes, rhyme with. You've got it. So, should we just kick off?
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Okay.
Please kick off.
I'm just desperately trying to work out how this finds the real me.
Yeah, all right, ready? We'll get there.
Okay.
It's a journey, Sean Dooley. Okay. When Sean is scary, he's Sean...
Spooky doesn't rhyme.
Ghouly.
Ghouly.
You're getting it? You're getting it. Yes. So far.
We're
when
off.
Sean smells nice, he's Sean...
Yeah, no, I got that one. Yeah.
When Sean is scary, he's Sean Ghouly.
Yeah, no, I've worked out the format, but thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
After the dentist, he's Sean... Trolley.
Oh, my God. Will this night ever end?
Wearing a jumper, he's Sean...
Woolly.
Woolly.
Yes!
Woolly.
That doesn't rhyme.
Woolly.
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 Just humour. We've got to get out of here. Alive.
When Sean is learning, he's Sean...
Schooly.
Done.
Yes.
Damn.
Eating a fancy dessert, he's Sean...
April... Thingy Fooly. Strawberry Fooly.
Cooly.
Oh! A cooly isn't a dessert, it's like a sauce.
Fuck you.
That's when it all went wrong, officer. And then,
Last one.
And the next one, he was putting her out of a river.
last one, assholes. Okay, ready? When working in the shed, he's Sean...
Tooley.
Yes!
Boom!
Oh, well done.
So I think that's a...
That's something that should never, ever happen again.
No, but I think it could turn into a very nice children's book. Don't you think? Like, here's little Sean.
What, me in a shed?
Sean. Anyway, I spent a lot of time on the Rhyming Dictionary website for that.
That's
so
good.
You're welcome, Sean Dooley. Should we move on to the last bit of the podcast, everybody?
Okay, I think so. Well, that was great.
So we're doing a quick international shout out. So, hello, Sarah Carton in Sweden.
Do the accent.
Hello, Sarah Carton in Sweden.
Don't do the accent. Next one.
Hello, Kate McDonald in New Zealand.
We've established you can't do that accent.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Elspeth McComish in Paris, France.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Elspeth. Vienna Chow in Shanghai. Yeah. Leaving it there.
Yeah.
Hello, Shanghai. And Donya in Brooklyn, New York. Now, I want to have a special mention to Donya because her husband wrote into us saying that you have listened to every episode at least twice and she doesn't know that we're saying hello to her and she's a big fan. So hello, Brooklyn, and hello, Donya.
Hello, Brooklyn.
And shall we move on to Scummy Mummy Confessions, Ellie?
Yes, please.
Yes, okay. You go first.
So this confession comes from Anna in Melbourne. Shall I do the accent?
Yeah, go on.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Here's my confession.
Is that bad?
Yeah, she's fine. Yeah. Go on. I might just do it in my normal voice.
Yeah, go on.
I want to tell you about my shit week. Firstly, my daughter's friend came over for a play date and pooed in her own clothes. Classic.
Yeah.
Pooed in the clothes we lent her and pooed on the dining room floor when some poo fell out of her undies. No. Oh, wow. Triple trouble. That's
dear.
The one. A few days later, my son did a poo on the deck. I gritted my teeth and cleaned it up. I wouldn't clean out with your teeth. That's weird. Unfortunately, in our area, we have very determined crows that like to investigate any rubbish bin that is overfull or doesn't have the lid closed securely. Our rubbish bin was very full. I think we know where this is going.
Oh, no!
Later that day, I spent a very sweary 10 minutes retrieving the nappy, poo and soiled wipes that the crows had spread all over our front yard. There was a very large gin and tonic at the end of that day.
Oh,
Anna. I don't blame you. I salute you. I would have had several large gin and tonics.
That's a lot of crap to deal with in one day.
Yeah. Feel sorry for Anna. More about that crow.
I know.
His mates are still taking the piss out of him for that. He's like, oh, what's this? It's shit. It was everywhere and his mates still bring it up. They still bring it up.
Too orangey for you.
Hey, go in that trash can, crow man.
Well, thank you, Anna.
Very nice. Sean?
Very nice. I was thinking about what to say, really, because there's a lot of things that would get me in trouble with the law. So I can't
Not
say
again.
Any of them.
If I were you, I'd chuck them bluebells out for starters.
So I can't, there's quite a lot I can't say. But there was my eldest daughter is quite, she can be a bit of a drama queen at times and, you know, over particular things. And she said she wasn't feeling well and, you know, she's going on, my head hurts, I'm in a mess, I'm all this. And I told her to stop, took her out of school and went, well, we're going to IKEA still because I want those meatballs and chips. And your mother wants to look at some Billy staircase, bookcase
Billy
things.
Yeah.
Got back and then rushed her through to hospital with meningitis.
Right! Oh!
So that... So that was a good one. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. So what did you do, sir, today when she told you about the headache? Oh, we
Croydon. Croydon's
we
great
went
for headaches.
To IKEA the whole day. Yeah. Was she not in pain all the way around? Yeah, but we thought she was making it up. We thought she was just being So I feel terrible still to this day. And it's probably a speech I will tell at her wedding.
Helen, do you have a Scummy Mummy confession for us?
I'm trying to... Oh, no, I wanted to talk about swear words because Matilda, my eldest, who's six, came home and said, we're not allowed to say swear words at school. And I said, well, that is a good thing. And she said, but what are swear words? And I was in this really funny position where I'm like, do I tell her Or do we? Do I lie and say it's things? So I just said,
don't be an arsehole.
Shut your cake, Holt. Oh, I just said, shut up is the rudest thing that you can say. And she went, oh.
But wait, she doesn't know what a swear words are.
She doesn't know what a swear word is. And is that, that's almost unscummy, isn't it? Like, she doesn't actually know.
But now she'll go, shut up, you motherfucker.
That's right, that's what a swear word is. And
I swear I'm terrible in the car, terrible road rage.
It's a different...
I swear, and yeah.
Oh, top tip, just say mate. You mate. Mess this right.
Oh, God, Ellie says mate 85 times. On the way to Catford, she's like,
mate, drive your car properly, mate, drive your car, seriously, drive your car.
She turns into a different person.
Yeah, minicab driver.
I love that you think that they can hear you. That is the thing. I talk to them. I go, little button, little lever on your side, indicator. It's called an indicator. I wonder why, because it indicates to me that you're fucking turning. Knobhead. And my wife's just going, they can't. He's just looking in his rearview mirror, seeing this idiot
going
like this, just shouting at nothing. Can't hear you.
Look, it's John Sim.
Yeah. Oh, love, isn't that guy? But, yeah, you forgot to indicate because you thought
ashes
it was John Sim.
Ashes.
Is that David Tennant?
That's almost the end, isn't it?
Oh, I think that is the end. Okay. I've had such a lovely time. It's been wonderful. Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to the podcast. If you have, please tell your friends and please follow us on Twitter at Scummy Mummies.
Mm-hmm. We're on Instagram, Scummy Mummies, and Facebook, Scummy Mummies Podcast.
Mm.
We did that smoothly this time.
We did.
Yeah.
Have we got any live things?
We do. We're coming up to Camp Festival, which is at the end of July. Come along, come and see. We're in the Guardian tent, John.
Oh, John? Nice. John, she's done it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 8 hours I've been sat on the sofa, and you haven't got my name right. You haven't made up a shit game rhyming with my name. You still can't say my name.
You should be grateful. The original game she made up was called Sim Card. Thank you very much, Sean Dooney, for being such a brilliant guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, I'll do that.
No, go. Well,
I can tell you about one of my first jobs that is quite amusing.
Okay, let's do that. Yes,
wait, let's set it up so I can edit it.
All right.
So tell us about one of your first jobs that's been amusing. No, wait.
You do it. You do it, Ellie.
So what were your first roles? Fucking hell, I can't do it now. Fuck, stop. I've got to edit this, you listen, sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't usually call the guest a I'm so sorry. This doesn't normally happen.
You need to drink because
I
know.
I just wanted the sound effect of me walking up.
It's because I trust you.
Douche.
I'm so sorry. It's because I can... You're my friend in my heart. I'm sorry that in reality we've just met. Right, anyway.
When you listen to this back sober, Ellie, you're going to have a...
I'm going to kill myself.
Picture the blue
bells. That's right.
Sorry, Sean Dooley.
The eight hour epic.
That's right. It's like Marla for podcasts. It's the ring cycle. That's right.
Dawn gently breaking outside.
So, it's now August.
I've got a beard.
Yeah.
He's Miss Broadshirt 3.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.